manager, and welcome to our studio.
Good morning, Miriam. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, you are one of many Oroville architects.
Yes, one of the many.
Somebody said it's a city of architects and a city of
architects, painters, and potters.
And what? Potters?
Architects, painters, and potters.
And musicians, no?
And musicians, healers.
But still, architects are a leading number, I think. And they have quite a recognition outside because people even come here to get an internship to have a mark that they've been working with our architects, right?
Yes, it is true.
Yes. Anyhow, recently you received an award for Nandanam Kindergarten.
Yes, indeed.
That is
Global Architecture and Design Awards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What that means? I mean, the reward is in Indian level or it's international?
No, it's international. It means that this design was selected amongst the many submitted. In fact, there were 740 entries for different categories.
Yeah.
And the award we have won is in institutional category for built. They also have a category for unbuilt designs. Mm-hmm. So this is, I think, a platform where many of the designs get put up. And this is all towards finding solutions for issues of the present, and they have probably found that our built environment is a solution, one of the solutions that offers towards, you know, sustainability.
So it won an award for sustainability.
I would not say that. It won an award for institution built category. Let's put it that way, simple.
Institutions as meaning as a kindergarten, like a school
institution. Yes, yeah. Educational institution.
How did you design that?
How did you design that?
And I think it was also a path, you know, it went quite some phases and some years, right? You mentioned 2006.
Yes, we started in 2006. In fact, the first phase was built by Poonam.
Mm-hmm.
And then second phase onward, we have built. And so what she built was a basis from where we started.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first inspiration was the child itself. Because all of us, our childhood memories are so precious, and in some ways, the memories of our childhood and the experiences of our childhood have formed us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start designing a kindergarten as an architect, you are, you know, you have that responsibility to create an environment which will lead to better memories, or memories that will be supportive, positive, towards the building of an individual.
Mm-hmm. And especially because Oroville is specific in that aspect. Still, most of the schools, and especially the kindergarten, do follow the integral education. So it goes by the individual child.
Yes, it does.
His or her development, yeah?
Yes, it does.
And building capacities and
absolutely
stimulating, yeah?
Absolutely.
So what did you apply?
So the first thing that I applied was, you know, going back into my own memories and, you know, talking to the children. And my own child was a student of that kindergarten, so it was not that difficult to find children to talk to and to listen to what they are not saying even, you know, because it's easy to listen to what they are saying, but also to listen to what they are not saying, because what does a child aspire to?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there is something in architecture which we call anthropometrics, which means that you go by the size of the person that's using.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of question about that, because although the size of the child is small, the spirit of the child is not small.
Sure.
And it was clear to me that if a built environment has to come up, built and unbuilt, I don't see architecture as a building. I see it as a combination of built and unbuilt woven together.
Mm-hmm.
So if an environment like that has to come up, it should not only, you know, talk to the size of the child. It should actually talk to the aspirations, to the imagination, and to the spirit of the child. And this is what I wanted to achieve. And I must say that a lot of this, or a lot of response to this query of mine, came from Mother and Shobindo, of what they have talked about education, of how they treat each one of us individuals in Oroville as, you know, a unique individual. You know, everyone's path in Oroville is different. And why is it different? Because we are seen as individuals.
Yes.
And this way the children also need to be. And actually, the answer came just from the different queries that I had in my mind.
Mm.
And, you know, when you put up a question, an answer comes. Sometimes from your own self, sometimes from children, sometimes from teachers. The teachers have been amazing in their inputs.
Yeah, they have their own practical experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And talking to them has been very enlightening for me from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
and
sure.
different architects in Orwell. I take my design to, you know, senior architect like Helmut, for
mm-hmm.
instance, or to Lalit, and he's my partner. So, you know, they give me inputs which are very critical and yet which are solution-based, and that helps me grow and that helps the design and architecture to grow.
Okay. Forget about the architects gave you probably very professional inputs, which are from one aspect. So what was the request of children and teachers maybe? Oh, let's start with children. What were their requests? What kind of space they do need?
So actually, I didn't ask them that.
But you were in, you have children, so you know,
yes,
you observe
exactly.
and you see what they need.
I talk to them because, you know, asking for something very specific does not lead to the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about the topic or how they go about their whole day or what do they do and what do they like to do in school.
Mm-hmm.
That is what leads to creation of spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you ask a child, the child is, you know, having a certain way of expressing, you know, how they express is very, it's wonderful,
mm-hmm.
but it's their language. And the language I wanted was to keep that language alive in school.
Mm-hmm.
So create an environment that allows that language to happen. But what kind of environment is a question that has to be answered by, you know, several queries, and over a period of time it gets answered.
Mm-hmm.
And over a period of drawings.
So let me ask you, what did you figure out? I mean, what kind of space the child needs?
So a child needs, first of all, not to be cut off from the environment, not to be cut off from the landscape. So the building needs to be an extension of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in architecture called, you know, a hierarchy of space. So there's a covered space, a semi-covered space, and an open space. So the direct transition from covered to open, these kind of things don't really work. So it's slow transition, which allows a child to, you know, be a part of the outside and the inside at the same time. So low windows. So
mm-hmm.
when a child is sitting and working, so this is beautiful in Orwell, that we don't have desks and tables which are set. Children sit on the ground and they do their, you know, work.
Mm.
And so at the sitting level of the child, eye level, the windows, if they are given, then they are constantly connected to the outside. And one more thing which I learned was, like, when I was working in Doshi's office as an intern,
mm-hmm.
I noticed that there was a particular place, if I sit over there, then I feel really like, you know, I can do it. Like, you know, and then I noticed
the space
that...
space inspiring you by itself.
Yeah, so what is it that is inspiring me more here than elsewhere where I was sitting?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference was that the space I was sitting here was between the two walls that he has, and I had access to look at the sky whenever I wanted. And
mm-hmm.
then it dawned on me that every time I'm thinking, every time I'm doing a write-up or design, I tend to look out, you know, for inspiration. And I've seen that with many people, that they look out of the window and talk because they're connected to something vast. And I said, this I should give to every child. So in every classroom, I opened up the roof to the sky. So the sky is brought in every classroom so that
mm-hmm.
this possibility of being constantly connected to your infinite self is available and given to you.
So every room has an inner courtyard? Or
every room
has
a skylight.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is covered by glass probably.
No, I've given sufficient overhangs
uh-huh.
so that the rain doesn't come in. So it is, you know, there's actually nothing between you and the sky.
Yeah.
It's open.
Yes.
And we might put in the future some ventilators so the bats don't come in or stuff like that. But at present, there's absolutely nothing. You can just look out at the sky.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. Idea is to not put ventilators if we can avoid them.
That's good.
And then the child has an access to a semi-covered space of their own, which is for a smaller class, smaller collectivity. And then an open space, you know, like sandpit or where they can do some mud activities or whatever they want to do. So there's a transition from covered to semi-covered to open in a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
And in the center, there's a transition from covered, semi-covered to open for a larger group, because the central focus of the entire space is a courtyard with a tree, existing tree.
Mm-hmm.
So all the rooms open out to that courtyard. So once they are in that place, then there is no separate classroom, no separate age groups.
So it's one
kindergarten. Yeah, they all mix in. This is something that many parents have come and told me, that we really like the fact that all children can intermingle
mm-hmm.
amongst each other. And it's a safe space because although it's wide and around the courtyard, there's a visual access everywhere through and through.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives a kind of a emotional security and
but
the possibility
safe,
possibility of supervision without interference.
Cool. And the input of teachers, what were the practical inputs?
So the practical inputs were actually what I did with them to understand was to sit with them through their meetings
mm-hmm.
for, you know, weeks to understand how actually they teach the children, because I have studied in a system which was very, you know, all our school systems conventional. So to understand how they actually get to the child, the element of learning, because the whole point is that nothing needs to be taught. No, children know.
Yes.
Only a nourishing environment has to be provided. So how do the teachers provide that? So I was actually looking at the activities, the space that the activity needs, the kind of light that the activity needs, the kind of, you know, surface that it needs. And then that was the basis of the design. And then I took the design, I made models and took them to the teachers, took their inputs, because their inputs actually made a lot of difference to the design.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's and, practical
and
nature.
And model was something they could more easily relate to than plans. So it was, yeah.
Some people, I mean, it's how they call it, spatial intelligence.
Yeah,
if some people can read maps, some people cannot.
Yeah, right? Some of them can actually.
Visualize some.
Yes, some of them. Lakshmi particularly.
Mm.
She can, and she has been a very, very good, I would say, guide even in the process. Mm.
Yeah. That's a teacher in it.
Yes, Lakshmi is one of the main teachers there in my view, and Jyoti.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all of them, Sarasu, all of them. They are fantastic in their own way. And the fact that they are so passionate about their work also encourages me to be passionate about my work, you know. So it's interesting.
And that award, it's also written that it was a young team of Pat. So who are
yes.
Pat?
It's so Pat is, yes, it's my team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's myself, Lalit. And then it is a team of members that keep shifting because they're mostly interns.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been one architect with me, Bhavya, who has done all the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also thanks to her that it's so well documented. So this is a team that keeps shifting, but there's something that each and every individual adds to it. So no longer is Path just me. Initially, I started the projects and I was, in fact, Nandanam, I did all by myself almost.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, it was myself alone. But now it's a team.
Mm-hmm.
And now when we design, like right now, we are designing the Matri Mandir Gardens. It's a team design and a teamwork.
Oh, you're also part of Garden Unexpected? Or
yes. Yes. One of the many.
One of the, yeah. And we're supposed to select it, no? The community is supposed to select.
Yes, yes.
Mm. And what this reward means to you?
See, the real reward I feel when the child is happy to be in the school. That's my reward. When the parents say that we love coming to drop the children to the school, you know, and we like to sit here and we like to, you know, experiment in the space. And some of the parents have put their children in this particular kindergarten because they like the design
space.
Of the space. And yeah. So when they say that, it's a certificate enough for me. Now, what happens is that one needs a kind of a certificate to be a little bit known in the world outside so that
mm-hmm.
one gets good interns, good trainees.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it means to me, that then I will have a better team, because I really need a good team to put into manifestation all the ideas that we bring up.
Mm-hmm.
So the better the material that we have, the better the output will be. And that's why this award means to me that, you know, some recognition will help me strengthen my team.
Mm-hmm. And it's also good for the... That you are, you know, also somebody else recognized that you're doing something good, no?
Yes, yes. But as I said, because we are in Auroville and we don't really work for certificates, so it really means to me when people enjoy the space.
Mm.
That is certificate enough for me.
Okay, the next piece you said you are working on the Garden of Unexpected for Martin Mandir, which is also again for children, yeah?
Yes, exactly why I'm taking part in it.
Yeah, it's like a continuum.
Yes, it's a continuum. And as I said, architecture is not just built environment.
Mm.
It's an environment, whether it's built or unbuilt or landscaped.
Yeah, it's also
patterned.
It's like black and white, or it's a space or empty space, yeah?
Yes,
no space.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And the next plans?
Well, there are quite a few plans.
Mm.
There are a few projects coming up. I'm doing this Sire Staff Quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also a competition project, actually.
Deha Shakti?
Deha Shakti, yes.
Mm.
Yes, next to it, the exposed brickwork.
The one with the stones and bricks?
No.
No, the other one.
One with the bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like apartments, right? It's on the
yes.
path to Future School.
Is it? It's between transition and Deha Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when you cross the cycle track. Yeah. So the idea is there are apartments, but the idea is again to give a piece of sky and a piece of land to each one. So the apartments are designed so that even the apartment on the first floor has a garden, has a possibility of their own compost, mm-hmm. their own plants. They can grow their edible plants upstairs. So the idea is to give that possibility to each one, you know, not on the ground.
Each of us deserve a piece of sky, no?
And a piece of ground.
True. So we can connect and absolutely. We can aspire higher.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You would like to add something? I mean,
would I like to add something?
A plea to what?
I would community. Just like to say that architecture does not belong to a person mm-hmm. or to an age. It belongs to more, you know, it belongs to the society and it needs to go beyond its age. And therefore, I feel every architect needs to look within, needs to really be sensitive to listen to different nuances that are presented and be able to, you know, surpass one's personal preferences and do what is really required to be put there. Because the land asks for a design, you know. The design is sometimes even there. One has to just bring it down. In that sense, architect is a channel. And what I feel is that all of us need to be pure channels, mm-hmm. less preferential, less ego-based, more wide, you know, so that what needs to come comes and that it's not too specific. Like, for instance, tomorrow if this garden, if this kindergarten needs to be made into a music school, it should be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Need not be too specific, you know. So I think an architect needs to work on themselves as a human being,
mm-hmm.
as a person. Needs to ask around, look for a guru, because the architecture does not need to depend or limit on one's own knowledge. One has to ask for a bit more, so that what one puts in is more than what one is right now. I feel everybody should extend a bit,
yeah.
whether architect or not. Every person needs to extend a bit every input, single day.
Yeah, because the buildings which design are not for him,
yes.
but for the
people. Yes, for the society. And not even for that particular time or mm-hmm. that particular way of teaching. If a way of teaching changes, it should not be redundant, mm-hmm. right? It needs cool. to be wider.
And in this aspect, how the mother and Sri Aurobindo inspire you?
Yes, aspect? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I always invite them to design with me, actually. I would not be able to without them.
Mm-hmm. How long are you already in Auroville?
How many years?
Yeah.
20 now, almost.
Mm. And how you guys actually managed to come here? That's always an interesting story.
That's an interesting story. So Lalit came here because he came here for a case study. He was working on a spiritual township elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he came here as a case study. And he was impressed by the way people have come here to build this city based on the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So he came here really for, you know, this. I came here only for architecture initially.
Mm-hmm.
And after I came here, actually, I did no architecture for a few years. It didn't come to me.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities didn't come. And all I could work on was, you know, myself. And I realized there's a lot of work there to be done. And
probably, transformation, right?
Probably when sufficient of that was done, then I probably got the opportunity to build Kitnandanam. There were a few projects before this that I designed in that didn't get built.
So you guys met here?
No. We came here together.
You came here together?
Yes.
Okay. The children were born here, both of them?
Yes, yes. Sagarika was born at home even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Both of them are born here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we started living after we came to Auroville.
You started to live?
Yes.
Nicely put. Shailaja, thank you so much. All the best. I'm looking forward to see also the garden of unexpected design for that.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll enjoy it. Yes, we enjoy making it.
That's good, no?
Yes, very important.
I mean, yeah, it's true. If you enjoy what you are doing and you bring all the passion and love, also the results are completely different, no?
Yes.
If one is working for the money or...
No. See, that's another thing which I wanted to tell you, that it's becoming less... Our breed here in Auroville, what pioneer architects started with and who I look up to, you know, every time I start a design, I know that this is a place where, you know, the architects like, you know, Helmut Popo and Piero and Roger have built something really, you know, which is beyond what, you know, normally architects build. And that's, you know, the inspiration I start taking from. And now there's a breed of architects who's like producing less of research, less of experimentation. Let's produce, let's quickly build and somewhere I feel that I hope the breed of our type keeps continuing and increasing, and that Oroville doesn't become any other place where people just come and build.
That doesn't feel right.
Yes.
So let's hope that
things won't, let's won't hope go that, in that the direction. Inner force keeps compelling us to
Do something better, yeah?
Yes.
And different.
Yes.
I think, like the mother said, we are here to do not only better, but to do differently.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Charlotte.
Thank you. Bye.